If you'd like to open up to 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're looking at Lord, open our eyes. That's the title of this afternoon's message. 2 Kings chapter 6, and we'll be starting at verse 8 and going through some verses here. Okay, you know, there are times in our lives when we only see with our own eyes. This is especially true when we're under a bit of hardship, or when some testing and trials come along. Yet God desires for us to see with our spiritual eyes, that our focus would remain upon Him and His abilities, His strength to deliver us from whatever challenges that we face. And whether those times are times that God has allowed, or maybe God has even sent them, or allowed Satan to buffet us for a while, God places limits on the testing. You know, we know that as in the case of Job, the Lord allowed His servant to be tested but not destroyed. And if we would but look to the Lord with eyes of faith, knowing that the difficulties are only going to last until they fulfill their purposes in our lives, if we would but ask God to open our eyes to His plan and purpose, we will continue pushing on regardless of the opposition we face. Lord, open our eyes. And in our passage today, we see the king of Syria was going to war with the king of Israel. And Elisha warns the king of Israel, and verse 10 there, chapter 6, verse 10, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of and saved him there, not once nor twice. And the king of Israel was saved from disaster. Now the king of Syria wanted to know how his plans were being thwarted. And he's told that Elisha was responsible, and he commands them to go and get Elisha. Verse 13, he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he's in Dothan." You know, those who would be true to Christ are not promised an easy time in this life. They're not promised freedom from trials or freedom from persecution. The Lord reminds us in John 16:33, He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In fact, 2 Timothy 3:12 reminds us, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions." You know, sometimes we don't want to know some of the promises of God, do we? You know, we shall suffer persecution. And but Elisha's enemies were powerless to hurt him. Nothing could really touch his life apart from God's permissive will. And if we are in the will of God, then nothing can touch us except that which God allows. Now, Jesus said in John 19:11, "Thou could have no power at all against me, except that were given thee from above." And Hebrews 11, we know as the faith chapter, we read of some who there, that some were delivered, who stopped the mouths of lions, where they quenched the violence of fire, Hebrews 11, 33 and 34. Yet, Hebrews 11, 36 says, "Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented." And the Lord adds to that in verse 38, "of whom the world was not worthy." You know, praise God for the others. You know, we do suffer in this world, but nothing could have touched their lives if God had not permitted it. Now, Elisha's servant had become fearful because of the king of Syria. In verse 14, "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed about the city. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city with both horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?'" Think of this, the servant, Elisha's manservant, he goes out and the whole city that they're there is surrounded by the enemy. And he's afraid. Alas, he says. And the question, what sort of thing are we afraid of? Is it a great temptation you don't think you can stand at the moment? Is it a friend maybe or an associate urging us to do what we know is wrong and yet we feel we've got to give in to what they want us to do? Is it that old sinful nature, the flesh, self, struggling to be on top in our lives? It could be an army of difficulties. It could be anxieties and cares and troubles. And the cry goes out, alas, how shall we do? But this young man didn't need to do anything. He had to leave the doing to God. God's hosts were already there, only he couldn't see them. And how true that is, and the things we are most afraid of never actually come to us. We can stay up all night worrying about this and that, scared something's going to go wrong or concerned about our work maybe, our homes, and nothing comes out of it. Now Elisha replied to them, he answered him, he said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." So here's this man, he sees all the enemy, all the hosts against them, and Elisha says, "Fear not." Do you know in the scriptures over 145 times those words or words to that effect are mentioned, "Fear not." Isaiah 41:10 tells us, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Listen, if God be for us, who can be against us? Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And we can ask ourselves the same question. Whom shall I fear? When the Lord's hosts are round about us, whom or what shall we fear? But we are sometimes like this servant. We can't see it. We don't recognize it. You know, Elisha said in verse 16 then, "For they that be with us are more than they that be against us." This servant's going, "What are you talking about? I can't see anything." Now Elisha, he's not afraid. He had seen the vision of the chariots before in 2 Kings 2. He knew that, yeah, God's hosts were there right now. And the young man is asked in verse 15, he asked in verse 15, "How shall we do? How are we going to get out of this?" And the prophet, in effect, he's saying, "Well, listen, you don't need to do anything. God will do it for us." Now, Moses said to the children of Israel in Exodus 14:13, he said, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today." Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them." 2 Chronicles 32:7, "Be strong and courageous, be not afraid or dismayed, for there be more with us than him." Romans 8, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, what? Who can be against us?" And in our text in verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You know, Elisha prayed because God is the only one who can open our eyes and cause us to see. And again, we need to be a people of prayer, to see the Lord's hand working in our lives. We need to get alone with him, shut the door, get on our knees and call out to him, lay our cares before him, lay the needs that we have. Seek him out. Look for his face. Ask for his hand to be at work in our life. And Elisha prayed because God's the only one who could open his eyes. And the Lord, Psalm 146:8 says, "The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind." You know, and we're blinded until we ask God to reveal himself and show us how he wants to help us. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened. Ephesians 1:18. And this young man, he could see, but he couldn't see. And there are many who know God. They're saved, they know God. But they don't really know God. The intimacy, the personal contact, the relationship that God so desires to have with us, our eyes are not open to it. We're still blind to the fact that he really wants us to put our hand in his hand, allow us allow us to see that he wants to lead us, he wants to take care of us. He wants to uplift us and encourage us. And this young man couldn't see the spiritual hosts of God round about. You know, we have a great need for our spiritual eyes to be opened. And too often, we're so taken up with the dangers and the difficulties, so taken up with the cares and concerns around us, we don't see that God's hosts are already there. God's already here wanting to deliver us, ready. And we need our eyes open to see sin. Just like Balaam did when the Lord opened his eyes to see his own perverse ways in Numbers 22. The Lord had given Balaam a command to obey and he didn't obey. You know, there's some... I have a list of 53 commands of the Lord Jesus on my desk, and I tell you what, when I read down them, and I try to read them every day or every second day, you know, there's many things I've got to get right in my life to be obedient. Now, the sinner in God's word is described as being blinded by the God of this world. 1 John 2:11 describes the sinner as being in darkness. And we need our eyes open to see that Christ is the living waters, that he is the way of salvation. You know, when Abraham sent Hagar out into the desert with some bread and water, when the water ran out, remember she put Ishmael under that little bush, and she was so distraught, she went further away so she wouldn't have to hear him and see him die, and she wept. And the scripture says, God heard the voice of the lad. And God promised in Genesis 21:19, he would make out of him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. You know, we need our eyes open to see the wonderful things in God's word. And our prayer should be, Lord, open thou my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. The Lord had to open the eyes of the disciples before they could understand the meaning of the scriptures concerning himself in Luke 24. And only the Holy Spirit can open our eyes to see the spiritual truths that God wants us to know and understand. And unless we look to him, the word of God is going to be like a sealed book to us. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Can you imagine the response to this man? All he's seen is all the enemy around the city. He couldn't see any of God's hosts at all. He couldn't see God at work whatsoever. And Elisha, a man of God, someone who prayed, who had power with God, wisdom of God, asked that the Lord would open his eyes, and the Lord opened up the eyes of this man. And then all of a sudden, he sees all the Lord's hosts, chariots of fire, round about his master Elisha. They were there all the time. All the time. But it was only after the Lord opened his eyes he could see them. You know, there are those around us whose eyes are blind to their own sin, to the beauty of the Savior, blind to spiritual truth. And we need to pray just as Elisha did, pray in faith for them. And Elisha's enemies became his prisoners. Verse 18 to 21. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to a man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass when they were come to Samaria that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" You see, the very ones who had come to capture Elisha had themselves been captured. See, by God's power, the enemies that may be up against us in our lives, there are many enemies who are trying to get into the minds of your children, into the relationships in the home. There are many enemies. And whether it be Satan, whether it be the flesh within, the temptations or the testings and trials, they can become our prisoners and have no power over us if we are calling out to the Lord and asking him to fight our battles for us. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." See, what goes in is important. What we allow in there is important, because what goes into the minds finds its way to the heart. And we need to be careful what we allow. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace." You know, God's given us the strength, the wisdom, the power to battle against the sins that so easily beset us. How does Elisha react to his enemies? To those who wanted to harm him. The king of Israel wants to smite them. He wants to wipe them off the face of the earth. And Elisha answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with thy bow?" He says, "No." He says, "Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." You see, in the times of battle, it's not so much the victory that we skit over. Sometimes we need, like Elisha, to show a forgiving spirit to our enemies. You see, when the king's enemies were in Elisha's power, or in the king's power, he didn't seek to take revenge. And not only did he refuse to allow them to be killed, he says, "Feed them. Give them some water. Give them something to eat. Give them something to drink. And they can go back to their master." And he prepared great provision for them, verse 23. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. What a reward for his faithfulness, for showing mercy and for showing grace. God kept the enemy away from him. Now, we may well be reminded of Romans chapter 12 in verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. May the Lord open our eyes in the battles we face. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this afternoon. We do thank you, Lord, for the blessing of it. And this man, Elisha, as we're coming to the close of his life very shortly, the lessons that we learn, Lord. We do face enemies. We do face attack. And at times they see it overwhelming. At times we may be distraught because we have forgotten to see that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Open our eyes to the victory we live in, Lord. Open our eyes to the strength that you can fill us with. Open our eyes to the work of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. And Lord, help us to show grace unto those who know not, Lord, any better, to the enemies that confront us, all for the sake of the gospel, Lord, for our testimony. And help us to remember, Lord, that you died for all sinners, and that we would show grace where needed, mercy when it's needed, and love when it's needed, that we may be like our Saviour, bringing honour and glory to your name. And these things we pray in his precious name. Amen.